Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of December 18th, 2022. The text is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Today, before the message, I'd like to read a devotional that was sent out from the North American Baptist offices. The theme for Advent this year was Embracing the Difficult Manger. This devotion was called Action Reaction. It reads, "Even if we don't grasp the whole of the mathematics behind it, most of us understand the basic truth of Isaac Newton's third law of motion with as much ease as kicking a ball across the field. It says, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Actions have consequences. Every choice we make, action, results in some sort of consequence, reaction. Sometimes the reaction is perfectly in line with what we expect. We pay the barista and in return receive a hot cup of coffee. Other times the results are entirely beyond our expectation. Such was the case with Joseph. Joseph had a decision to make, and the most prudent and righteous course of action seemed to him to be breaking off his engagement with Mary. After all, she was now pregnant, and he knew he was not the father. He might have been thinking that this course of action meant the man who got her pregnant was now free to take her as his wife and to be a father to his child. Or maybe he was simply allowing her the freedom to fade into the background rather than go through the spectacle of a wedding while visibly pregnant. Who knows what might have been if Joseph had followed through on his decision to quietly break their engagement. The unintended consequences of his decision are thankfully a mystery because, due to the intervention of an angel meeting him in a dream, Joseph chose instead to stay the course, to take Mary as his wife, and to be the earthly father of Jesus. Fred Rogers once said, "There is no normal life that is free of pain. It's the very wrestling with our problems that can be the impetus for our growth. Choosing the easier way, even when it seems to be righteous, is not always the best way." Joseph was privileged that an angel came to him in a dream to redirect him. The rest of us must instead rely on the difficult process of discernment. We must learn how to set aside what we want and be open to whether God, through the Holy Spirit, leads us. Let me start here again. We must learn how to set aside what we want and be open to wherever God wants, through the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I think I need to do that again. We must learn how to set aside what we want and be open to wherever God, through the Holy Spirit, leads us. This is not a skill that is easy or even one that can be mastered. Anyone who says they are an expert at discernment is fooling themselves. Yet when we put in the hard work to learn how to hear the quiet whispers of the Spirit and ignore the thundering shouts of our own wants and desires, we are sowing seeds in our soul that will flourish and bloom in magnificence and splendor. Embracing the difficult manger, action, reaction. The Advent devotion for December 3rd, 2022 from the North American Baptist Conference. For my message today, I'm going to present a monologue message. I hope it's understandable to you that are listening. So let me begin. Hi, my name is Joe Davidson. My wife calls me Joseph, and sometimes when I'm in trouble, she calls me Joseph, son of David. Perhaps you've heard of us, or at least Mary, my wife. An angel of the Lord was sent to her with the message that she would become pregnant with the Messiah through the work of God's Holy Spirit. All of this happening while we were engaged. If God's angel hadn't appeared to me in a dream, telling me not to fear going ahead with our marriage, I would have released Mary from her obligation to me. Instead, assured that Mary's pregnancy was the work of God's Holy Spirit, we got married. Mary's faith was simple, yet so strong. It was grounded in her trust in the Lord God. She refused to accept human opinion over God's word. For me, this was something easier said than done, and I needed God's help. You see, I struggled with my worthiness for the task. I just started to get used to the idea of becoming a husband and providing for a wife. Now I learn that I'm not only soon to be a father, but I am to father the Son of God. How am I going to do that? Honestly, at first, I wondered if Mary would be better off without me and my doubts. Yet Mary would have nothing of that idea. She firmly reminded me that God's angel could have been sent to her before we were engaged if I wasn't to be involved. Also, remember, Mary would say, that God sent his angel to you in a dream to assure you not to be afraid to take me as your wife, and to assure you that I have remained faithful to you. I remembered, he said, the child Mary carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, Mary would say, God intended that we are in this together. We are both to raise his son. God chose you to father this child. Put your full faith in him to help you. He will provide what you need. After that, after the encouragement, you know, Mary and I spent countless evenings talking and thinking. We recalled the Lord's work in the lives of our forefathers. Moses wasn't saved from being drowned in the Nile River by his own strength or that of his family, but through the work of God. The Israelites didn't walk out of slavery in Egypt because of their efforts. It was all a work of God. I needed to remember this was God's plan. We didn't have to figure out all of this on our own. We simply had to follow God's directions, just like our forefathers did when God protected them for 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus' birth was an incredible experience. Once again, Mary was so brave and strong. But I saw the events surrounding Jesus' birth as a disaster. It didn't go at all like I had planned. I had hoped to arrive in Bethlehem sooner. And when we got there, I couldn't find a private room for my wife to have a baby. As a result, God's son was born in a barn, an enclosure meant for sheep. Honestly, I kind of thought that God would have made things a little easier for us, and I wondered why he hadn't. While Mary held Jesus, she listened to my disappointment over my failed expectations and plans. And she reminded me that babies don't care about our plans, only theirs. As she snuggled baby Jesus and smiled at me, I knew she was right. Let the disappointment go and be thankful for what we have. As I was assuming that we'd gotten through the worst of the night, our stable started to fill up with shepherds. Oh, great, I thought. The only empty place I could find for my wife and child now has to get used as a working barn. But the shepherds hadn't brought the sheep. In fact, it turned out they had come looking for us. What? How did you know we would be here? I asked. Then they told us their incredible story. They too had been visited by an angel. It turned out God had not let his son's birth go unnoticed after all. The heir to the shepherd King David had his birth announced to working shepherds out in the same fields David had once walked. They had come to see the child, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The look of awe on their faces told me how deeply they had been touched by this moment. And when they left, everyone they met heard about the angel's message and the baby they found in a feeding trough. After some time, I began to relax. I found work, and I was able to afford a small place for our little family. I thought, maybe raising God's son wasn't going to be as tough as I had feared. When the foreigners arrived, wise men, magi from eastern lands, things got even more interesting. The whole village was curious as their caravan passed by. And the gifts the magi presented to Jesus were worth more than years of my labor. Yes, I can get used to this, I thought. The night the magi left, I woke up with a jolt, and I started to shake Mary awake. Get up, get up. We have to leave this place now. What? Why? Mary asked, rubbing sleep from her eyes. Mary, I had another dream, a visit from the same angel. He told me Herod is going to try and kill Jesus. We have to leave for Egypt right now. That's all Mary needed to hear, and she was up, gathering clothing and household items for the trip. I ran to prepare the pack animals and shelter. In a few hours, we were on our way out of Bethlehem, headed for Egypt. We stayed there for a couple of years until Herod died, and the angel told us to return. I was heading back to Bethlehem until the angel came again and warned me Herod's son ruled that area. So we returned to our little hometown of Nazareth to raise our family. The Magi's gifts had been a lifesaver, providing for our needs. Anytime I started questioning God's care and concern for us, I would remember the blessings those gifts had been to us while in Egypt. It was like when the prophet Elijah was fed by ravens when he hid from King Ahab. We also had been blessed by an unexpected source. God was at work in ways I least expected or could have missed, if not for Mary's gentle reminders. David spent years hiding from his father-in-law Saul, yet he had been chosen by God to be the next king. Why should we expect any better treatment for David's son, the future king of Israel, for Jesus? As Jesus got older, he took an interest in what I was doing, and I taught him my trade. As he grew in wisdom and stature, I knew he had greatness waiting ahead for him. I didn't get to live to see him reach his greatest hour, but I do know the rest of the story of his life. He began to preach of the coming of the kingdom of God. He upset some people with his preaching and claims about himself. Finally, the leaders of the people had enough, and they had Jesus crucified, just like he said they would. They thought they'd rid themselves of the one who claimed to be the Messiah. But 3 days later, Jesus took his life back. He rose from the grave, proving he was the Son of God, the Messiah. He is the Savior, the one the angel announced to Mary, to myself, and to Bethlehem's shepherds. That little baby which I held in my arms so many years ago was God himself. He wasn't my son. He was God's son. He is my Savior. He came into this world to deliver me from my sins, and he lives today. He came so that you and I might have eternal life. This Jesus came to be your Savior too. 2,000 years ago, I saw God come down to earth. He lives today. He can be your Messiah. He can be your Savior. You just need to trust and believe he can save you today. You know, it's so easy to get all wrapped up in our own little world and think that this is all that matters, all that you need to be concerned with. And then God steps in. And God reminds you that not only is he at work in this world around you, but he has a part for you to play in his eternal plan in this world. A part far greater than what you thought was your important stuff, like your to-do list or your sports teams or your hobbies. When the Lord told our childless father Abraham to look up to the stars and count them because his descendants would outnumber them, he was reminding Abraham that he was a part of the Lord's plan, which was beyond his ability to comprehend. Abraham simply needed to trust God and live faithfully, and God would work out his plan. That is what he told me. That is what he taught me to do. Now, this certainly doesn't mean your life becomes trouble-free. In fact, all who determine to live a God-fearing life will face opposition. This is to be expected. It happened to Jesus. He said to expect it happening to his followers. How about you? Yes, you need to look after your day-to-day responsibilities. But are you conscious that you are also part of God's greater plan? God created you for a relationship with him and then to represent him in this world. He desires that your trust in him grows and matures and becomes an example to others. And this means facing situations where you have to decide, am I going to handle this with my wisdom, or am I going to lean on God for the wisdom and strength I need to do it his way? I tell you, I learned it's always best to do it his way. I marvel that God chose me to be part of his plan for reaching humanity, and I certainly do not regret it. How about you? What is your response to God's invitation to trust him and join him in the plans he has for you? What will you do? Will you trust him with your life? As I conclude this message, I thank you for listening, and I want to close with a benediction. Let us go from this place, proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of God the Father, the joy of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this Christmas season and evermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. The Lord bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us.